Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Tej Talks podcast. And also, I believe this will be on the Where Shaz podcast. Where Shaz, he's sitting right in front of me, in front of his greenery, his shrubbery, which he never waters, actually, but it still stays green. Crazy. The power of plastics and crude oil. So, Shaz, this is your podcast, basically. You're leading it. I've just turned up. You woke me up for no reason, apart from talk about What Grinds Our Gears, episode two.
Episode two. Thank you for letting me share the platform with you, Ted.
So, this week,
I've got
or this month, let's talk about what grinds our gears. So, people, we're doing a little ranty podcast every month. We've decided, sort of, when we have time, which is every month. What are the topics this week, Shazad?
Well, we'll go through them one by one. This is basically an extended voice note that.
Yeah, but the voice notes we send, they can't be public, so.
True, but first of all, guys, I'm not sure if you've seen that myself and Tej are going to be on a property panel 23rd of March, which is hosted by Madison and Connect 23.
Madison!
Madison, you got myself, Tej, Kazi, Ashley, and Malkit as well. And then it's not just property, they've got trading, they've got other kind of areas where you can make money, so I would suggest you jump on and get some tickets. But there's an elephant in the room here, Tej.
I mean, you know what? Speaking of elephant in the room, I doth have an elephant with me.
Okay, well, the elephant in the room here, buddy. When was the last time you bought a property? What do you even know about property buying?
You know what? You know who you sound like? Can I take a tangent? Can I take a tangent here and tell people about someone on Instagram? So there's someone on Instagram who makes multiple accounts as Asian women, yeah? With typical Punjabi names, typical picture, no followers, nothing. And they comment and DM people, especially me and used to be James Soto as well, Uncle James, about various things. Now, the comments are very, they're not rude, you know, they're not like, swearing or being aggressive or like personal comments, but they're very like this person must have 20 properties and must be so experienced by their comments, and they're very passive aggressive, but yeah, so it is rude. Now anyways, this person has had these accounts for like 3 or 4 years now. A few of you in the chat have come, oh, why can't people hear me, man? It sounds like you're in a fishbowl. I mean, I wonder why. I mean, there's 10 of you. You can join the podcast later if it doesn't. Probably for the best. Thanks, Shaz. You know what it is? This person with these accounts, right? It's been around for like, since we had the property event. So what was that? 2-3 years ago? Anyways, they've admitted to James that they are an Asian man in West London who's too much of a pussy to have his own account, but he wants to make comments about people, so he does it as an Asian woman every single...
By the way, guys, on the Instagram, Madison, aka Connect123 underscore, has joined. So that's the event that we spoke about earlier. Please, like, go on the page, buy some tickets. There's also a competition to get 2 VIP tickets, I believe. You have to tag 2 of your friends or 1 of your friends if you have any, and you can get VIP. VIP means you get to spend more time with us in, like, a special area where civilians aren't allowed.
We don't even get to give VIP tickets out to our friends, so it's good that you so it's good that you can win these, right? Because we can't give them to you, so don't try and butter us up, Madison. So back to the story. This person, right? Anywho, they put a comment on one of Madison's things about the event. And this is where your question, your elephant, my little hati over here, in the room, has come from. But firstly, I'd like to say, like, listen, Curtis, if you're struggling to hear me, that's fine. Lip read. It is one of these things where, like, why do people do this, Shaz, firstly? Like, if you got something to say, then say it. Like, people don't really care who you are, what your profile, like, you have even less respect and even less weight when you're faking it to be a totally different person and gender. Like, you know what I mean? So just say what you need to say. So in regards to the hati in the room, Elephant Atta, hold tight. That's probably some of the best Atta there is, I would say. What's your mum's favourite Atta?
It is basically Elephant.
Yeah. It is Elephant Atta. There we go. Chucky as well, yeah? So, oh, Sash is back in here complaining. No, Sash, I'm going to kick you from the room. No, I'm joking. I'm not going to do that. So, to get back to your point, Shaz, it's one of these things where, you know, in life you can do what you want. So, if I decide to not buy property for a few months or years because I'm buying businesses or doing shit that most people are not doing anything, then I'm going to do that. And if I want to come back and just buy one, maybe buy two, maybe... I'm going to do that. But I think to encapsulate my point of, one, you can do what you want. Two, you don't forget things, especially when you have mentees and you educate people, because you're constantly learning, educating, sharing. It's not going to leave your mind. So the summary is, I still do more than 90% of y'all listening have done. And for a lot of people, maybe not the ones listening, because if you're listening, you're sort of one step ahead of most people. But most people who go to these events and get golden nuggets and talk about property, I don't know, man, like, I've done more than you're going to do in your life, probably. And that's not me being rude. That's me looking at the statistics of 90% of people in these rooms. So not listening to this, but I mean in rooms in like the kind of really early beginner stages, don't do anything. So I'm still more qualified than people to talk about these things. I also am a good communicator. And I'm a good public speaker. So it's kind of like, if I can deliver it in that way better than someone who just did one yesterday, who's like, yeah, so I bought a property and then you do the refurb and then you get a builder. You know, you can ask the audience who they want to hear, but like, I just look at it like logically, like, well, here's XYZ and here's XYZ. And I should be buying a property right now, but this fucking, you know, title deeds bloody issue, yeah, is holding on, but everything else is ready for that purchase. So yeah, it only took me, what, a month and a half of like looking to almost secure a deal. So like, yeah, again, when people make comments like that or they think it, I just think, well, what are you doing and why are you not on stage?
No, I take all those on board. I mean, just to retort to those 2 points. So one about the fake account. Yeah, I've noticed it. That account does DM me from time to time or react to my stories.
Bro, block it.
Yeah, yeah, but yeah, I think, guys, look, if personally, and Tej knows, if I have, if I disagree with someone, I might run it past him first, say, look, does this come across bad? Normally, he's like, just say it. So I'll say it because it's me and I believe in it and it's fine, as opposed to being trolley. And it is trolley if you're doing it behind a faceless or fake account. Second thing about Tej's elephant in the room and not having any experience to buy, you know, to talk about property buying. Fairness, you know, 15 properties in 9 months, that's a lot of experience. And secondly, the refinances are coming up to be due, I think, next year. So fun and games back then. Like you say, you're a good orator, you're good, you know, speak on stage, a lot of people aren't, you know. So yeah, I think that answers hopefully that question as to why is someone who's not bought a property in 2 years speaking about buying property, because of the breadth of experience and still active, and that portfolio is still making you financially free, right?
Yeah, and the flips that I'm going to do later this year will just... You know what? My mum and my wife were at dinner. Yeah, so I'm and they were both like talking. And she came back and obviously was cussing me about. Obviously they were cussing me about. And she goes, oh, yeah, your mum said you're really bougie now. And like, that's why you're doing more property flips now. So you can like get quick money to pay for all your 5-star things and your business class flights. And I was like, firstly, majority of that might be true. But secondly... I resent that statement because property is not quick. It's not quick, is it, Shaz? That was my main argument. The rest of it, I'm not going to argue with. I'm not going to argue with them, but it's not quick. And you know, as a broker, your shit might be quick because you're good and your element is quick when people provide you the paperwork. But like the whole process, long, bruv.
Part of me, Tej, the little part of me says... You're just doing these flips to flex, to show you can.
You know what? You know what? It's that when I set my goals and targets for this year, it wasn't for that. It was literally, okay, I've got this income from here, that income from here. Let me do flips because I love them. It gives me a chunk of cash that I can put into stocks and shares. I can reinvest into the cleaning, the food business, whatever. So it was pretty much a... let me generate some cash of my own out of thin air, because investors fund it all, and, you know, great builders, great team, that I can then use and have no investor costs on, if that makes sense. So it's great to use investors. I can generate 20, 30 grand here and I put it into Facebook ads or into a new food truck for the business. You know, it kind of removes that cost of finance, which can make things on these smaller businesses run a lot smoother. So yeah, I mean, look, I think sometimes people need inspiration as well. I mean, I would never do it just for that, but if it helps my mentees and I can then do site visits and then help them even more, and it helps people see that, look, like, y'all out here making excuses, but we're doing this, like, now, we're doing it rapidly, and we're doing it with receipts, because we all know your favorite property educators ain't got fucking receipts. Oh, is that a topic?
It is. I mean, let's address it now. So, next topic. By the way, anyone who's joined the live, I guess the purpose of this live is me and Ted just to kind of vent around things that maybe grind our gears or just things to kind of share. If you have any topics you want to talk about, please pop them in the comments. Okay, so yeah, let's move on to what Ted just touched on there, which is, I think, look, guys, property education, all that nonsense, we've all spoken about it a lot. But if we just hone in on one specific point where, and to be fair, since Ted just mentioned it, I have noticed it, or lack of, a lot more, is a lot of these educators don't actually show the end product a lot of the time, or kind of the financials on the back end. That applies to deal sources as well. They'll have a lot of front end, got 16 deals, or this investor, but very rarely do they show, and this is actually how it ended up, or not enough in relation to the number of deals they've been promoting. Over to you, Tej. What are your thoughts on this one?
I think what you said there is right. Like, especially about deal sources, like, it's great to say, you know, hey, we've sourced 100 deals now, which is, by the way, that's fantastic. It's like 300 grand of, like, turnover potentially. That's 100 people that have, you know, potentially bought from you. So, like, shit, this, like, let's not put that down. Like, that's amazing, right? Especially in deal sourcing, where most of you are shit, right? Most of your deals are shit. I mean, you could be selling to 100 idiots. You're probably selling to about 90 idiots. But anyways, everyone looks for different things. When you say that, that is fantastic. And don't get me wrong, like, it means something. However, what Shaz said there is spot on, which is, okay, well, you've said that, you know, you've sourced 100 deals. Okay. What percentage of those deals got Rick's by the mortgage lender, by Shaz doing the mortgages on it, got revalued at the number you said it would? What number sold for the number you said it would? What percentage of them did the refurb come in within plus or minus 10%? And how long did, like, imagine a sourcer came to you those numbers and said, look, 90% end vals spot on, 85% was sold for the right price, 70% of refurbs came in inaccurate, but it's because, you know, the buyers wanted to go snazzy with it. and they presented that to you. I think we'd all look at that and say, shit, okay. Like, I now have confidence in what you're saying. Like, okay, this is what you want from a deal sourcer. But not a single one does that. Not a single one does that.
Ted says not a single one. I mean, there are people. I think I've seen young Ryan Eastley just have an interview with one of his clients. Three videos on that.
I know one. They, where, that's not data. Okay.
I know Adriana does a lot of stuff around currently ongoing projects, not finished, okay, but there's a lot of stuff going on. Okay, so why not? It's because a lot of these projects are not what they're sold to be. You know, when deal sources specifically say, do your own due diligence, that essentially relieves them of all responsibility. The numbers are way out. The timing is way off. Well, it's on you. And especially on my end as a broker, when I hear investors or clients say, yeah, Shaz, you know what, I probably won't use this deal source again. That is very telling, because it shows they don't care. They're taking the money. They're kind of stuck with this project, cashes in and stuff like that. So it is interesting. I think, as I've said before, whether it's through a deal source or ask them more questions, people don't ask enough questions, whether it's to a deal source or even to a broker. Like, I said this on a live yesterday with Martin and the group, that people ask the wrong questions. It doesn't matter. Don't ask how many lenders do you have or what. I'm looking at a bridging deal. Is that something you deal with? Like, that's the question you should ask, not what lenders you work with. Same with deal sources. You know, do you have any kind of regular clients I can just speak to see what? their experience has been like. Anyone who's on social media promoting their personal brand or their business brand will not be shy to give you referrals for people who can give them money, right? And with when it comes to educators, the likes of like Samuel Leeds and that. Samuel Leeds is interesting because people do worship the guy. So actually, he's an anomaly in this space. But with educators, if they're asking to part with money, and often tens of thousands of pounds or any kind of money, ask them, say, oh, just that's great. You know, what you've put on there is amazing. How many of your mentees have made it? Like, there's some that in the space where I can't think of anyone notable who's come out of their mentorship or their teaching that says, this is all through this. Apart from Samuel Leeds, everyone, honestly, Samuel, the ones who've been on Samuel Leeds stuff, they worship the guy and they're all doing rent to SA or whatever. But yeah, so that's my thoughts on that.
But, you know, it's a good point. And I think also asking, like, even when you're borrowing money, the amount of people who say to me, oh, Tej, you know, someone hasn't paid me back, it's late. Or like, oh, I invested with this person. I say, oh, cool. What was the, you know, what was this like in the contract? Okay, you got equity or yeah, one of them. Okay, I said, did you like check, you know, did you ask for their credit score? Did you ask for, you know, ID? I did. Brother, you didn't ask for ID. Like, they ask you for ID when you're trying to buy alcohol at the supermarket. Like, what? And you're giving man's 100 grand without asking for ID. Fucking idiots. So I think like what you're saying is correct. People are not asking questions. But do you think it's because they're so, oh my God, you know, look at Shaz, he's incredible, I believe everything. Or, and they feel a bit like almost intimidated by the brand, by the person, or do you think people are just thick, or both?
It's a mixture of both. Look, guys, I don't know what the phrase is, but there is a thing where if you say something enough times, you make it true, or you make people believe it's true. So if I went around saying, best broker in the business, and I'm so transparent, and I'm so reliable, I'm so authentic, I'm so genuine. If I say that enough times, you would believe me without asking me this. Because actually, I can relate this to fitness. So a lot of the fitness professionals, fitness models, trainers, the ones who push the fact that they're natural, I'm natty, often they're the ones who are not. But because they push that agenda, you think, hang on, this guy is going way over the top to say he's natural. He must be. There's no reason he would lie about that, right? And if I ask him the question, it's just going to offend him. So if someone's going way above and beyond to say that they are genuine, a true developer, the most active developer, whatever it is, not saying they're not lying, but ask them more deeper questions. Great. You know, how many sites can we visit? Not just the one site. What does that look like in your loan book? What's your loan to, like, questions they should easily be able to answer, because if they're running it as a business, they are the owner of the business. They should know.
Yeah, I agree. And I think also asking people to, you know, look at their company's house, and if there's nothing there, then, or if it's not looking, you know, because company house can be like a year or two behind, you can show it what you want to show, you know, it's not like the end or be all, but there is a charges register there, which gives you some indication of like activity. Okay, you may not be given charges. So, you know, again, it really isn't the kind of end or be all. And often sometimes it can confuse you more. But it's good to ask these questions. You know, I said to people, so you invested in that person. Did you ask for like an accountant's certificate of like their income, their assets, their whatever? Yeah, it might cost the the borrower like a couple hundred quid, but probably not if you've got good relationships. And they said, oh, what's that? I said, okay, so there's nothing in the company's house. You lent this money. You didn't get. I'm like, look, I could help you, but like, why am I gonna, like, you're an idiot? Like, why didn't you come and speak to someone before you did all these stupid things? And Shaz, you know, on the same thing, if we look at, you know, because you talk about deal sources, if we look at educators, which you've mentioned, I think when people say they are buying properties, and even if they're showing stuff on social media, and it's very hard to do this, right? Because one property with, say, 5 rooms could look like 5 properties, right? I'm in property 1, cut the camera, next room, I'm in property 2. Like, we're not going to question that because you're watching like a YouTube video or a reel. You're just like, you know, you don't. But sometimes you need to pay more attention to these things because, like, for example, if you go on my tejinvest.com website, my portfolio is there. Like, every property in order, I think, actually, picture, what it did, figures, everything. So you can track all the progress of the properties I've purchased. The one I flip in, live in. People might recognize this from the YouTube videos. everything is tracked and there's receipts. All bank statements come in from PCS or from John at Insight. Look, they're all tracked and they're all on my Instagram. If your educator and thingy hasn't got that, one, it could be, I don't like talking about money because of blah, and that's fine. But if they haven't got it to show you in the back end, you know, behind the scenes, then what's going on there? If they're buying, you know, multiple properties a month, which is by the way, a lot, no, not a lot of people, but people do it. It is possible, but you, like, it's not easy. Yeah. I've been there, done that. It's not fucking easy. Like, you need to kind of track, like, okay, so you've been buying three properties a month for the last 12 months. So where's the three you bought 12 months ago now? Like, are they refinanced? Are they sold? Are they tenant? Like, what's happening? Because it's very easy to say, bought three last month, boom, next month comes along, bought three this month. And by the time you get to 6 months, you've forgotten all that because you're just, like, consuming the current. We don't remember that because society's made us like that and social media's made us like that. And if you're going to invest in them, how do you know if any of that is true? If you're going to invest in their education, how do you know any of that is true? The amount of people who come to me, and probably you, who say, oh, I spent money on this course, and I always say, I'm sorry for your loss. Yeah, because it's a fucking loss. And then I say, okay, well, have you seen all these things from that educator? No, 100%. But their social media, they had a Range Rover. Brother.
So I've got a few things to talk about that, and then we'll move on to the next one. Just to keep moving. So, guys, one person you should all follow is Vijay. I don't know what his Instagram is, but Vijay is an active property investor. Like, I think he's bought his 19th property now, all up north.
Yeah,
I'm not even his broker, but I'm saying his content's spot on. It's everything's free, and he just talks about actual deals that he's doing. I think he's bought an estate agency, so it's all in-house. Right, guys, a couple of things. First of all, do not ignore red flags when it comes to sources, educators, brokers, investors. Don't, if it seems like a red flag, it is a red flag. Second thing, when Ted says stuff like, I've bought three properties, sometimes the wording is really ambiguous, right? Sale agreed. We've had three sales agreed. Okay, that doesn't mean you've bought it. That just means you've had, like, they've agreed to take the property off the market. You may not decide to buy it then. That's the second thing. So be very curious as to the wording. And thirdly, honestly, like, people deserve it sometimes. Speaking of red flags, if you see a person and you go on, like, house and there's no property, and they actually, you ask them the question, great, well done, you asked, and they say, oh yeah, no, I've got something personal name. Don't give me that BS. Unless you're like over 50, you've not got any properties in your personal name. Honestly, like, as an active portfolio landlord, people are not buying personal name because of all the advice in the back of the market. We move on to the next.
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay, so I just want to, this is not property related, but this is quite relevant. So what I want to talk about, Diary of a CEO. I've seen your story, and obviously we've spoken about it as well, but I just want to put it out there. So I used to be a big fan of the podcast, right? Because it was with CEOs or business people, and it'd be like, how I supercharged my business. I took it from 0 to 100 million, or these are my business hacks, marketing. Rory Sutherland's been on it, the marketing guy. He's amazing. His podcast is actually amazing. So I've noticed a trend. Last 6 to 9 months, the guests have gone from being business owners, entrepreneurs, business people, to being like, what should I say, contrarian, health hackers, biohackers, how to have better sex, how to eat better, don't eat sugar, well, duh, you know, how to live till you're 70, stuff like that, which it's a bit disingenuous. It doesn't go in with the theme. It's not my podcast, do what you want, but it doesn't go with the theme of the Diary of a CEO. Secondly, because I am very skeptical, it's part of being brown. It says to me that if he's got this guy on now who's a founder of this company that tells you when and what you should eat, Steve Bartlett will probably invest in that company in the next 3 months, you know, and actually the value of that company up because he's put it on his podcast. So yeah, I'm slightly going off it of the podcast. Having said that, he had Daniel Priestley on last week, who's everywhere right now. He's speaking at every bloody event. But yeah, what are your thoughts, Ted? I know you've posted about this.
That was very well. He's everywhere, he is.
Everywhere.
dude, I totally agree with you, but I'll just say it more harshly. Because you just decided to put lots of sugar on that, because you're not eating sugar, right? He's gone from, like, really in-depth, interesting, meaningful conversations, like with Thierry Henry, Rio Ferdinand, the founder of Hinge, all these really interesting CEOs to a place which is very popular right now, which is very good for him to make money off affiliates, to get more listens, to be more contrarian, aka clickbaity, with these dickhead American scientist doctors with their PhDs at the back of a fucking cereal box, like, who are just like all giving conflicting messages. And Steve, you know, great interviewer, but every time he's like, you know, I'm dumb, I don't know about this. Like, bro, you've had like 10 guys on telling you about health. It's time you stop this little thing about, oh, I don't really know what a pancreas is. Shut up. Like, it's past that stage right now. Like, no one believes that you're still curious. Like, you are asking to sound dumb so that your audience who are dumb are like, oh my God, I wanted to know that question. What is a white blood cell? Oh my God. Like, these people who come on are just the typical American health experts where the studies they quote don't even exist, or they're funded by the companies that are they're on. They just all talk in total extremes. He cuts it like you have to nowadays to get clicks and get views. The only people, in my opinion, from health that he's had on that I've listened to is the company he's invested in, which is the Zoe, because their podcast is great. It's super clear. Yes, they have a few products they're selling, but it is very like clear, to the point. They do their own research. It's all online. You can go see it. But I think he's doing it just to climb up the rankings, just to get more views. He's seen the money. He's seen the clout, the what it does. Even though he doesn't seem like a cocky person or someone who thrives off that, something about it is triggering something in him to get these people on. And I think it's actually dangerous, because a lot of people listen to him, value him, put him as like the source of information. You know, if you're on his podcast, you're co-signed, right? Like, if you go on it, what that says is, Stephen Bartlett, multi-millionaire, entrepreneur, TV star, he verifies me and he vets me, but he does not at all, clearly. And so I think it's quite dangerous to have these people on giving this false information, where one week you're vegan, next week you're not eating salt, the next week you're not having saturated fat, but you're having fat from nuts. And it's like, all of this, and then he promotes Huel, which, look, cool, great, you know, it's got all the nutrients in, it's all natural, blah, blah, blah. But fucking hell, cavemen didn't eat Huel and they had better bodies than most of us. Like, for thousands of years, we haven't had Huel. We've had fucking rice, sabji, chicken curry, biryani. We've had like whole foods. We've had fruit that you put in your mouth and you actually have to chew. Oh my God. So like, there's so many things I think which go against like real science and logic and just like put it in a powder. And so I think he's a fucking idiot right now. I think he's made a mockery of his podcast, and he should be cancelled.
Fuck. Should be cancelled. I think what he should do is set up a sub-podcast, Diary of CEO, the health edition, and have that.
Yes, how to be confused about your health and listen to witch doctors.
Exactly, because I mean, it's moved me on to listen to Chris Williams a lot more.
Yeah.
Rory's podcast is great, but Rory, because he's actually got a business, he doesn't have a podcast every month. It's like every couple of weeks when he can do it. But Rory's amazing because he's genuinely, even at his level, he's so curious about marketing and people and human emotions and behavior, and that's what I want to hear. So Stephen, sort your shit out.
On Chris Williamson though, so I didn't know Rory had a podcast. Love Rory. Chris Williamson, I definitely listen to him way more. I think some of the guests he gets on and his views are very they speak volumes about his privilege and his lack of understanding about certain things like race most of the time. And so I'm a little bit, I think I'm going to go off him soon because he sort of had some people on talking about privilege, but he didn't talk about race in the podcast at all. And I'm like, so how are you talking about privilege in society when it's only class and not race and how they intersect? But anyways, I like his stuff.
He's been on, Joe Rogan as a guest a couple of weeks ago, and that's actually a 2.5 hour episode though.
He was on that Gammon show, Piers Morgan, absolute scumbag. He was on his show. So that, says it all.
Guys, can I just say, by the way, I just want to, like, I know people don't care what I think. However, if you're in my community and if we're connected and this and that, this is going serious. But if you're in my community and you're giving platforms or sharing pictures with people like Suella Braverman, Katie Hopkins, Nigel Farage, you're dead to me, honestly. Like, I haven't got time for people who platform people like that. So recently, you know, there's a chap, an investor, and he's proudly posting a picture alongside Suella Braverman. Mate, that woman would kick you out of the country if she had a chance.
So she'd send you back, 100%.
She would.
Come on.
So yeah, I haven't got time for people who have no morals. Clout, when clout or likes are more important than actually. So yeah, I just want to put that out there. That annoyed me. That did annoy me, if I'm honest.
No, that dude, that's actually a really important topic because I saw it with another investor who's he's terrible.
Who was it? We saw. I remember it was an older guy, and he had.
Yes.
I forgot his name now.
At the event, and you know what? I unfollowed him. I mean, he was always a bit of a dinosaur in his sort of way of being. So I assumed he would be with that. But like, you have to kind of think, like, when you are putting pictures up with these people, yeah, you're going to get some flame emojis and people say, oh my God, you took a picture with, who is she? Some kutti now. Anyway, she's not even the Home Secretary anymore. Just sitting there whinging. Some people are going to think, point blank, that's their job title. Amazing, right? Like, wah, wah. But then a lot of people, and if you look around, it is a lot of people are woke, for lack of a better term, like are seeing the reality of these things, are at protests, are talking about things that this Kutti and others do. So like, you kind of have to think, actually, the majority of your followers, depending on your circles, they're not going to think what you think they're going to think, because times have changed and people are a lot more opinionated, do a lot more research, see a lot more, don't believe the news and the bullshit they read. So even if you're posting like that for clout, I actually think it is going to have a negative impact. Now, there's some people, Chaz, who are like on the fence, where like, you know, some people would say, nah, they're not that bad, you know, and that would give you both. But then there's some people like Suella, like etc., who I think are so far to one side because of the things they've said out of their own mouth that like it doesn't work. And also giving a platform to people like that, but not commenting anything on Palestine, not anything about anything else, you're like, I mean, that person buys fake followers anyway. So like, I mean, they're fucked in the head anyway.
Yeah. But I think sometimes also it's important just to read the room. Like, what is going on in the wider world right now? And how will me be able to speak from a perception perspective? But yeah, you're dead to me, all of you. If you associate with those idiots, you're dead. Farage, Katie Hopkins, Sweater, and all them jabronis. Then the next topic I've got, and I think I might want to wrap it up because you've got a flight to catch, is, okay, so guys, last year, me, Shazad Ahmed, I was on a grand total of 39 podcasts. It's not a flex. It was exhausting, all right? And I was pretty much at every networking event. Because I wanted to be. It wasn't because I was forced to. I wanted to be around people. This year, the word for me is intentional. So I'm trying to be a bit more selective. Definitely not doing as many podcasts, maybe one a month, if that. And with regards to events, if I'm invited to be as a speaker or a panelist, hell yeah. But if I'm attending, it has to be worth my while. On that topic, though, a lot of the events now, and it's interesting because it's not the same events. So it could be two different events, two different organizers, people are actually the same. So it seems like the people who, the foot patrol, the foot community on foot, people are the same people attending the different events. So it's the same people. And I'm curious, as opposed to being annoyed, just curious as to what are the benefits of meeting the same people month on month, sometimes even twice, three times a month, because there's frequent events. Yes, you'll build your relationships and have deeper, meaningful relationships with those people from a output perspective. Ultimately, money and business and deals. Does that help? How would you benefit? That's just my curiosity more than anything else.
Oh, you're asking me?
It's a dot, 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 yeah.
I thought it was a dot, 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 the way you kind of did the intonation there. Okay. It can help in the sense that instead of, you know, you meeting someone for coffee and kind of taking it that way to get deeper with someone, you see them at events and then you kind of take it deeper that way. So it does strengthen that same relationship with people. But if you're all in the same boat, i.e. let's keep it really simple. Let's say you all want to raise investor finance, right? But none of you are giving investor finance. And you keep seeing each other and keep talking. Yes, you might learn ways to raise money, blah, 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 blah. But your main goal is not achieved that way by hanging out with the sameies. It doesn't make sense. What I think it is, Shaz, is just comfort. You know, people want comfort, and they say they're networking and it makes them feel like they're networking, but they're not working hard enough, they're not going into new rooms, they're seeing the same people, which is fine, cool, I get it. it's comfort, but it's not helping them achieve their main goal, but it makes them feel like they're networking. Just like when I don't know, you have to do 10 cold calls and you do 5 and you're like, oh yeah, but 5 didn't pick up. So like, yeah, we've done 10. It's just people being soft and not pushing themselves enough. I think it's just comfort, familiarity. But it's not, I don't think it's going to help people achieve their goals. Like, how many of the same crowd are going to actually do business together? How many are going to, you know, and also efficiency. If you have to go to 4 events to sell your, I don't know, social media agency services, when you could do that digitally, online, through content, whatever, I know which one I prefer.
It is an interesting point. I think whilst you were answering, yes, I think one of the benefits might be the access. So because you've met this person so many times, you've now got access to them if you need, if it's an accountant and you're an investor,
yeah,
you're an accountant, they trust you enough to help you out for free, as it were. Them out. So I guess there's that. But you know, there is a risk of it becoming culty, as in, you're part of our gang, you're not part of our gang, we'll share your stuff on socials, we'll leave you flame emojis, and you know, stuff like, I'm going back to the topic last month about just generic social media engagement. Was so great to meet you, always a pleasure. Like, do you know what I mean? Yeah, it's an interesting one, but this is why I'm being a bit more intentional. If I'm asked to speak or be on a panel, hint, hint, I'll do it. If I'm attending, either I'll have to be there already, or there needs to be a podcast or something there beforehand. But I'm doing the opposite now, Ted. So yeah, last year, I'll meet everyone at a networking event. This year, I'd rather meet individuals or 2 people at a more of an intimate thing. I find I'm having better conversations there. Each to their own, I suppose, guys. But yeah, ultimately, time is money. Make sure time is used well, intentionally. And I suppose always be the creator, not the consumer. So what value are you outputting, and how can you help people, and how can they access you? Position yourself in a way that makes you the person they want to speak to around. Are you going to be going to Albania?
No, I'm not going to Albania.
That looks really good. I went on, I saw the listing. So guys, if you're part of either the 5D Club or the Savoy's Club, there's an opportunity. I don't know why I'm promoting other people, but I do it all the time. Opportunity to go to Albania. You'll see the UEFA president, Bob's. Join either of these clubs, tell them I sent you, they will not care, but okay. But yeah, it's an interesting one because yeah, I just want to see different people and grow my network rather than pour into the same network. But perhaps that's what you have to do when you're starting out. Maybe I'm thinking of it differently because I'm not.
Maybe people who don't have social media brands or don't want to build them, this is how you do that. Like, we can put out 5 podcasts and reach thousands of people, they will go to 50 events to reach hundreds of people, but that's just their preferred route of building the brand reputation, whatever you want to call it. So yeah, maybe when you're starting out, it's a little bit different, and we're seeing it from our view.
Fair enough. Guys, another thing that I just want to touch on, and Ted, I will let you go, I know your body language is very... Guys, podcasting in 2024. If you are looking to do podcasts, please do. I think everyone should have some sort of documenting. That's whether it's a podcast.
Yeah, but some people are boring. They shouldn't have a podcast. Let's be honest.
No. But it's still good to document. Even if you never release it, just have it there as a log, because then it becomes your greatest hit. And you can snip it together, make a little. So have document. Keep it all in a file on an SSD drive. Da, da, da. But if you're going to output stuff on video, please make sure the video is of decent quality. Potato. Make sure the audio is clear and crisp. It doesn't cost a lot. Maybe... even your phone camera is good enough as long as the lighting's good. And the audio, you may want to get a microphone if you're sat a certain distance away. It really grinds my gears when I see people who've invested time and money in doing a especially when it's a studio podcast, right? So they've actually paid 100, 150 quid for a studio, an hour for a studio. I don't know what happens in between the recording, because I've been there. The cameras are 4K or whatever, Sony 4K, Canon 4K. So I've been there. The cameras are 4K. So in between shooting that and outputting on Instagram or YouTube, somewhere down the line, the video becomes like a really blurry, grainy mess. My thought is it must get edited and edited more than once, where the output must be done to 1080 and then 1080 again or something. But what, Tej, before you moan about it, what's the technical reason do you think that's happening?
I think, yeah, they're editing it more than once. The editor they give it to is reducing the quality to reduce the time it takes to render and output it. They're not mastering it correctly. You know, as it's being sent between people, maybe it's losing quality because they're not sending it full, they're reducing it. There's a few different reasons, but it's like, you know, the main thing is just like, it's bullshit, basically. Bullshit behavior from people.
Well, it means you're lazy, right? Because you're not taking care and attention in your product. Your podcast is your product. This is why I've slowed down on mine, if I'm honest. I don't mind doing solo podcasts where it's just audio. If I'm going to have a guest, I'd rather do it in person. The energy is different. Yeah. The quality is different. Zoom is it's fine. It's basically a poverty version of a podcast. In 2024. So, Tej, what's the last podcast you did that is going to come out soon that was decent?
I did one with Yusuf called Elevate Your Potential. And I think it's out now, actually. Really good podcast. He asks some really good questions. And I'll be fair, big up him, because I think he could go far with the podcasting, because how he was asking questions and the questions he was asking, really good. Levels above other newbies that I've heard. So if he keeps doing it, I think watch out for him.
Fine. Well, I mean, I recently recorded with on Courtney Bryan's podcast, Property Newbies, myself and Sam Norris. So it's a broker special. I'll be honest, guys, I love Sam, but he talks way too much. So I'm definitely Robin. He's Batman. But it's okay. I don't mind being the gamma every now and then, the beta, all my life. It's absolutely fine, but it's not this energy. It's more like
always a bridesmaid, huh?
Yeah. Listen, it's never been kissed. It's fine. And next month or month after, I'm recording with Dipesh for his podcast, which is more around, I won't say mindset, more around journey and struggle and business and journey and stuff. So that should be interesting. Kazi released our podcast recently. We filmed that, guys. Filmed that in July.
Kazi, man, you're slow. He's too busy playing badminton and whatever.
Padel. But yeah, guys, also, yeah, the other thing about podcasting, not that I'm an expert, this guy's got a million listens, is try and contract the delay between recording and release, because one, there's momentum, it's enthusiasm, and some of the content can get out of date quite quickly, depending on who you have, especially if you have a broker on. A lot of stuff is time sensitive, so just try and shorten the time between recording and release. And guys, is there anything else that you want us to touch on? No one's put anything in because I can't really hear you, Tej. They can only hear
me. Oh well.
Okay, well, look, this has been another riveting edition of the Tej Talks where Shaz Grind My Gears Substation podcast. This is basically us doing what Steve Bartlett does and just going into tangents. Nothing to do with our core audience. But I think the key takeaways, ask more appropriate questions.
Yes.
Do better due diligence and do not ignore any red flags. A red flag is a red flag for a reason. Listen to better podcasts. The world is bigger than Steve Bartlett. On that note, we're going to see him live next month, so we're hypocrites. Events, buy tickets for that event that we're going to be on the panel at. And also when it comes to networking yourself, guys, enjoy your journey, but expand your network rather as well as watering your current network. I love that phrase. And yeah, also, lastly, yes, Tej has not bought a property in 2 years. However, he still knows more than. And on that note, we're done.
Peace.